John, it's great to have you back. I'm sad this will be the last one, but we'll have you back again in the future. Who are we talking about today?
Today we'll be talking about George Walker. I wanted to do something a little bit different where this actually composer is still alive, which is a fun thing to talk about. You know, you get a lot more information and a lot more things to research when you talk about a person who's still living. So,
well, how old is he then?
George Walker is 91 years old. So this June he'll be 92.
When and where was he born?
He was born June 27th, 1922, in Washington, D.C. area. So he was born to a fairly prominent black family in the area. His dad was an immigrant from Kingston, Jamaica, but he was the foremost black doctor in the area. So a pretty prominent black family. And he started taking piano lessons at age 5. His father was the one who kind of pushed him into piano lessons. He said in an interview that he grew up in a household where if you were told to do something, you kind of had to do it, whether you wanted to or not. And that was how he looked at the piano. And he said his father would drive him to lessons, and he would sit outside in the car, you know, and wait the entire lesson time. He would come back, and he had 2 lessons a week he was having, with which is crazy by any means.
For a five-year-old,
yeah. So 2 lessons a week, every week, his father would drive him and wait outside for him. And so he contributes that kind of the guidance from his father and the dedication that his father put into his early lessons as, you know, as kind of a driving force to him doing so well in music.
You said his father was a doctor?
Yes, his father was a physician, yes.
So a highly educated man who sounds like he valued education quite a lot.
Oh, yes, definitely education was valued, especially being an immigrant from Jamaica, you know, where you get this chance to come to America and to do well. And education played a great deal of that with his father. So
George got quite the education, that lesson drilled into him, that keeping your mind active was a very great value.
Definitely. And he kind of took that and ran with it. I'll talk about it a little bit later. But he began taking piano lessons at 5. And then he started to work with the junior department of music at Howard University. So once he started moving into the more advanced lessons, he took lessons there. And then he gave his first solo recital at the age of 14. And 1 year later, he was admitted to, as a scholarship recipient, he started studying at the Oberlin School, then not conservatory yet, but school. He graduated in 1941 with honors. He was a student of David Moyer there, and he apparently did really, really well as a concert pianist. He said around the end of high school is when he decided, it's like, I want to be a concert pianist. And so that's what he did. He studied piano and organ at Oberlin. And then at 18, so many of us at 18 are just starting our undergrad years, and he's already beginning his master's at the Curtis Institute of Music, where he studied piano and composition as well. And he also studied chamber music with one of my great idols, Mr. William Primrose, the greatest violist to grace the earth.
So advanced at a young age in his 20s. He's at the Curtis Institute. And is this about the time he starts producing original music?
Yeah, this is when he started to really dabble into composition and really started to enjoy writing music. And so in 1945, he graduates from the Curtis Institute with an artist diploma in both piano performance and composition.
Wow, what an achievement. And he's in the world of classical music.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. He's well immersed in the world of classical music.
And he's a soloist, though, so he's not part of an orchestra. So he has to kind of forge a solo career. How does he parlay this set of skills further?
Well, he started off as a concert pianist, so he was building that name for himself. The same year he graduated from the Curtis Institute of Music, he was in the Young Artist Competition with the Philadelphia Orchestra, and he actually won the competition playing Rachmaninoff's 3rd Piano Concerto with the Philadelphia Orchestra and Eugene Ormandy conducting. So that's kind of like this great honor. 1945 is a great year for him. Let's talk about it.
1945?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you could ask for a better entrance into the greater international stage than winning a concerto competition with the Philadelphia Orchestra.
This is at 23 years old he did this. So what am I doing with my life? You know, kind of moment.
Oh, John, it's okay.
yeah, so he did that. And then composition became more of a focus on his life. Thereafter, 1947, he took summer study. He was actually awarded a Fulbright scholarship to go and do summer study in France with Nadia Boulanger, I think is her last name.
Right.
Yeah.
The most famous composition teacher in the world.
Yes, definitely. She's taught a lot of the greats. Yeah.
Aaron Copland studied with her, Leonard Bernstein, all of
Quincy Jones.
Quincy Jones, Quincy right
Jones
on.
Was a student of hers for a very long time. He went back to school, actually, back to Eastman, and got his doctorate of musical arts in 1956. So in the meantime, he had several teaching positions. He started off with teaching at small universities, Dillard University, the New School for Social Research he taught at. He also taught in Colorado, the University of Colorado Boulder, for a while, and then settling back east with his most well-known teaching positions at the Peabody Conservatory, and then a long-standing position at Rutgers University. He joined the Rutgers University in 1969 and retiring in 1992. So
that's a long career as a teacher at Rutgers University.
That's a very long career. He was asked in an interview how he felt teaching so many composition lessons, and he actually said, you know, composition is probably the smallest part of what I teach. He taught advanced theory, orchestration, as well as even some piano courses and things like that. So he had quite the variety in teaching skills as well, and kind of used all of that to his advantage when he was at Rutgers.
Can we go back and look at his compositional output? We talked about him being a pianist, but I assume that most of his works weren't necessarily for solo piano.
Oh, no, not at all. He actually wrote a lot of pieces for orchestra, as well as one of his most famous pieces is the Lyric for String Quartet. Lyric for Strings, which is adopted from his string quartet. It was originally the second movement of his string quartet, but is now a standalone piece in the string orchestra repertoire. So,
such a strong composer. He should be programmed more often.
Definitely. This is realized in 1996, kind of the world kind of realized that he won the Pulitzer Prize for music. He became the first black composer to win such prize for his piece called Lilacs. It's a piece for voice and orchestra. So
a song setting.
Yeah.
So he's written in a lot of genres, has a large output.
Yeah, definitely a large output, but true to his own compositional style. You know, he has a variety of, as you said, different settings of instrumentations, but always true to his kind of style, which implements elements of jazz as well as sort of new age sounds and things like that. So definitely his own unique sound. Like when you hear George Walker, you can tell, like, this is George Walker piece.
Well, you did bring along a special treat, and it's a recording of George Walker playing.
Yes, George Walker, yes.
He's playing his own piano sonata.
It's Piano Sonata Number 1, which definitely has a lot of those jazz elements that I talked about earlier. You can kind of feel, especially in the first movement, a lot of that in there, as well as a lot of that new age kind of writing. His son is one of his sons. He has two sons. One is a playwright who works out in San Francisco, and the other is a violinist and composer himself, Gregory. And he recently recorded his father's violin concerto, like a pre-concert talk. He was asked how his son felt about playing his music, and he said him and his son share a really special bond through his music, and that his son was really good about not, you know, he said, if I quote correctly, he said, "My son is aware of the technical difficulties in my pieces, and he's really good about not bringing it up and saying, hey, Dad, can you make this a little simpler?" So I think that tells you a lot about his compositional style. And definitely I listen to that violin concerto, and a lot of those same elements we hear in this piano sonata are heard in the violin concerto.
What I hear when we were listening just a minute ago to the opening of the sonata is a very free style, but also tonal. You're not going to be too lost in atonal land. You know, it's still freely flowing. And you brought up the name Ornette Coleman.
Yeah, when I first listened to it, it reminded me of like this kind of free jazz movement, which he would have been, I guess, in his early teens through this movement. So and maybe that had an extra large influence on his writing. Yeah, it reminded me very much of like that free jazz kind of, you know, kind of do your thing and just see what happens kind of jazz style. And I think you'll get a lot of that.
Well, John, it's been really great to have you here for this entire month talking about great composers of color. And where can people find out more about George Walker?
Yeah, so you find out a lot more about George Walker he has his own personal website, of course, so georgewalker.com, as well as afroclassical.com, one of the foremost leading websites of, for information about African Americans in classical music.
I checked out Afroclassical, all month now, and it's great that they pull from a lot of different sources on writings about the composer.
Definitely.
And they really prize personal anecdotes and you know, direct observers of the life of these composers. It's a great resource.
Yes.
And so are you.
Oh, well, thank you for having me here. It's been a pleasure to spend so much time with you and to talk with the listeners.
Excellent. Well, we'll have you back to play some viola for us, and hopefully it'll be another great composer of color, and we'll see you next time.
Yes, see you soon.